It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And now for World Pride Month, a call-in. When did you realize it was okay to be gay or lesbian or bisexual or trans or queer? Tweet at Brian Lehrer or give us a call right now at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Why do we ask it that way? Well, so many LGBTQ people question themselves early in life when they realize they're not like the majority of other people. Question whether it's even fundamentally okay to be who you are. So let's share some stories. We're looking for the moment in which your personal culture shifted and you became aware that, I don't know, maybe there was a growing acceptance in your community, whether you're personally part of a broader LGBTQ community that you became aware of, maybe as a teenager, maybe later, or whether an individual loved one in your life helped you change your mind if you had your doubts about the legitimacy of your own sexual or gender identity, or if you didn't have any support from other people, but you just figured it out and decided that, as our Kai Wright put it on our show yesterday, you weren't going to be anybody's deviant. Give us a call with your story for World Pride Month at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. One example we were talking about in the office of the broader culture shifting, we've been thinking about the whole 50-year sweep of history from Stonewall to the present. One thing that helped some Americans come out or just help begin to normalize the LGBTQ community nationally was the TV show Ellen. Anyone remember when Ellen DeGeneres came out during what they called the puppy episode in season 4 of her show? That was back in 1997. In the two-part episode, Ellen meets a lesbian named Susan, played by actress Laura Dern, who asks Ellen if she's gay too.
This is so hard, but I think I've realized that I am. I can't even say the word. Why can't I say the word? I mean, why can't I just say? I mean, what is wrong? That why do I have to be so ashamed? I mean, why can't I just say the truth? I mean, be who I am. I'm 35 years old. I'm so afraid to tell people. I mean, I just, Susan, I'm gay.
April 30th, 1997 on ABC. So what was your Ellen moment, if you had one? Did you meet someone in your social circle who was out and proud? Was it when your uncle brought his boyfriend to Thanksgiving dinner? That episode probably resonated with a lot of people. But what were the other moments, maybe unlike that moment, for you? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. When did you realize it was okay to be gay or lesbian or bisexual or trans or queer? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And we'll take your stories right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now to your World Pride Month stories on when you realized it was okay to be gay or lesbian or bisexual or trans or queer. Jules in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling in. Hi.
Hey there. It's so awesome for this message to be getting out to multiple listeners across, you know, the
everywhere.
New York state. Yeah, everywhere. So I really appreciate you giving this opportunity for queer people to speak.
Sure.
But yeah, so at the age of 5, I knew that I liked girls because I kept writing them songs. And then at the age of 17, I chose to come out to my parents. And I fortunately grew up in a very loving household, and I was still terrified to tell them and crying and not sure if I was going to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And but it really took me, even after my coming out, just to my family, like 4 or 5 years to even feel comfortable wearing the clothes that I want to wear. And just this year, I decided to change my pronouns to they, them. And that was just in an effort to feel better with my insides and express them outwardly, and it mm-hmm. still really scares me to tell, like, old family friends, especially, like, some of my friends in Texas that, you know, that this is something that I've decided for myself. But I've honestly received nothing but support from my family and friends, so I've always been really fortunate.
And I hear the quiver in your voice, and is, you know, it's one of the things about coming out. You're never really done coming out, right? Because the next person you meet, and the next person you meet, and the other family member who you haven't seen in 6 years.
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, even just, like, stating that so publicly on the air is, like, yeah, like, it's coming out. And honestly, what's really hard is that the world still does not see non-binary people or even queer people. And there's always assumptions being made about your gender and your identity, you know, and that's just something that I really hope to see change within the next couple of years.
Thanks for your bravery in calling in, Jules. Call again.
Thank you.
Sydney in Crown Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Brian. I have my friend Jordan to thank. Jordan and I, if you can believe it, actually go back four generations. We're fourth generation New Yorkers, but we're just friends, and our great grandparents were friends, and our parents were friends, our grandparents, and then our parents, and then we became friends. And Jordan came out, you know, a few years before me, maybe even close to 10 years before me, and eventually was the person who was there. To show me that it was possible. And so Jordan mm-hmm. is one of the most brave and beautiful people I know, and thanks for giving me an opportunity to say that on the radio.
Oh, sure. And way to go, Jordan. If he came out 10 years before you, what was happening? This is a hard question on the radio when you can only answer in short form, but what was happening with you for 10 years that it took you that much longer, if I got your story right?
Yeah, well, I'm a gender nonconforming person, and I think the challenges of being someone who's born into a male body, of being accepted as an openly, predominantly feminine person to the world, it's incredibly challenging. Since I've come out, you know, unfortunately, I know I have gotten lots and lots of support from very important people in my life and my family and friends. Unfortunately, you know, I've also been the victim of attacks, you know, verbal attacks on a constant basis in public, such that I can't actually comfortably dress like I want to on a daily basis.
Sydney, thank you so much for your call. And if you're just tuning in, the call-in question right now is, when did you realize it was okay to be gay? Or lesbian, or bisexual, or trans, or queer? It's a World Pride Month call-in, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And the kind of sub-question that we're asking is, who helped you? Sydney there just shouted out his friend Jordan. Or was it more of a community thing? Or was it even something in the media, like when Ellen came out in the 1990s? We played that clip a little while ago. Larry in Lower Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Larry.
Well, hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So what's
your... I got drafted.
Uh-huh.
I'm 73. I got out of high school in 64, and I was a slender, effeminate young man in a small town in Nebraska. And the draft board decided I was appropriate material for the service, so I got swept into that and eventually found myself in Europe at the 7th Army Soldiers Course and discovered that 80% of the people in my unit were gay. And it was a really big revelation, because when I left the service, I was an entirely different man. I had self-confidence. I was sure that I could function in the world, and I'm incredibly grateful for having been drafted.
How, you're the only person who's incredibly grateful for having been drafted. How was it even that, if there's even an answer to this question, that 80% of the soldiers in your unit could have been gay? I mean, the draft kind of brings everybody in, and it... Oh, you were self... Go ahead.
Well, look, we were self-selected. I lived in a unit with a medical... I lived in a caserne with the medical unit.
Yeah.
The band was there, and the chorus, and all of us were chosen to be in those units. And gay people are, as a general rule... I don't know. I don't mean to be cliche about it, but we're pretty creative people, and we gathered ourselves together in order to function in these units.
Larry, thank you so much for your story. Lynn, let's go next to Corey in Brooklyn. Corey, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. I grew up in a very conservative family and knew, basically was raised that, you know, being gay was not okay. And, you know, always had the assumption when I was growing up that I was going to get married to a man and date a man and whatever. And I knew pretty early on as a young teenager that that was not my own truth. And I was always very scared of it because I didn't have, you know, the love and acceptance from my family. Mm-hmm. And so I moved to Santa Barbara and went to school out there when I was 18 or 19. And it was there that I found my, you know, queer community of other young students who went to UCSB, and we really were there for each other and supported each other. And I was able to come out and learn how to live this new life of being myself.
It's in a funny way, it's like a parallel story to the last caller, the guy who was drafted and discovered in his unit in the military that there were other gay people. And
yeah, it was like I never grew up like that. And, you know, one of the movies that I saw actually as a teenager that like really drilled it in for me was But I'm a Cheerleader.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, oh, my God, I'm gay. Like, this is me. But that movie was helpful to see as a 17-year-old growing up in a family, again, who I knew would not accept me. And it was very hard coming out to them. And I still don't talk to my parents. And, you know, someone else mentioned coming out daily is a thing. Mm-hmm. And that is a thing. Like, you know, I'm cisgendered, so I, you know, I definitely read as a straight woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I work as a doula in New York City. Mm-hmm. And a lot of families assume that because I have a child, I gave birth to her, which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm constantly coming out to people all the time. And it definitely is easier having, you know, acceptance and stuff like that. But it's still hard, you know.
Corey, thank you so much for your story. We really appreciate it. And I think there's someone else with a movie who helped them out. On line six, Maura in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hey, Maura.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you. So you had a movie moment.
Yes, last fall I saw Bohemian Rhapsody, and it took me back to my childhood in the 70s, Queen, and I fell in love with the music, but more importantly, I hadn't followed Queen into the 80s, school and work and stuff. I was strict religious family, would not let me listen to music, so...
Any music?
I researched Mercury, and I really like identified with him and what his struggles. Even though he's a guy, I dated men up until 2001, and then I just stopped dating. Came out when I'm 53. Well, that's when I saw the movie,
mm-hmm.
and I probably came out a few months after that. I joined the Human Rights Campaign, and I wear their jewelry. I wear the colors, but I haven't, like, made an announcement. I'm not, like, there's one brother that I wouldn't come out to. My neighborhood's a little scary. A gay man was shot a few years ago, back in 2010.
So new for you. Am I understanding you right? You're 53 and really you only came out a few months ago after seeing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, I was 53 when I saw the movie. I probably came out when I was 54.
Uh-huh.
So
what do you need? It sounds like you could use some more support than you're getting, it sounds like.
Yes, I could. I live by myself. I work here in the Bronx. I live up in northern Westchester, and
And
yeah, I've just had an isolated life because I didn't have what Mercury had, in that he knew what he wanted to do. And he had these guys around him that supported him.
Right. And did you say you reached out to the Human Rights Campaign? So is there any kind of a community that you know, community center or meetings? I don't even know what I'm fishing for. But folks that you can connect with to kind of help you center your new self?
They don't seem to be located in anything convenient for me. But I do see somebody,
therapist,
psychiatrist. Uh-huh. So I have him, but that's about it.
All right. Do you have a Twitter account?
No, that's another thing. I'm not extremely wealthy.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting that you get a Twitter account to meet people. I'm just going to say, who has a recommendation for Maura, who lives in Westchester and works in the Bronx and is newly out at 54, for finding some community? Anybody have any recommendations? We can take your contact off the air if you want, but also tweet listeners at Brian Lehrer. And Maura, you don't have to be, I don't think you have to have a Twitter account to just search for our Twitter account at Brian Lehrer and see if anybody tweets. So tweet, maybe you can use the hashtag for Maura, M-O-R-A, F-O-R, M-O-R-A, for Maura, and make recommendations. I'm reluctant to say respond to individual reach outs. You know, there are all kinds of weird people out there who might want to take advantage of you. But in terms of community connection recommendations in Westchester or the Bronx for someone in Maura's situation, love you to tweet us some recommendations, hashtag for Maura at Brian Lehrer. Maura, good luck out there. And call us again, okay? One more. Eric in the West Village. You're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So when I was growing up in a very progressive Midwestern city, I was a shy kid. I was called derogatory names. And then I graduated high school in 1980. Went to college during when AIDS was a big issue. And I think all that experience forced me into the closet. Plus, my father really felt, and even though we're a liberal family, felt that the only way I would be satisfied as a person was to get married to a woman and have a child and a family. And I did that. Not a child, but I did get married to a woman. And finally, when I was in my about 33, 34, I felt like I really needed to get out of the marriage for a variety of reasons. And try dating men. I was always afraid to. I was afraid what other people would think. And so I felt like, why not try it? And it was during a pride parade, when I was walking home and I was on 5th Avenue and 12th Street, that I started noticing people who were just a diversity of people celebrating being LGBTQ. There were people who were, I felt like me. There were people who were more gender nonconforming. There were drag performers on the float. There were people who were in the bear community, in the twink community. And finally, I accepted myself, and then I could accept everyone else in the community, and I've been a gay man ever since. That's my story.
Great story. Eric, thank you very much. And that's going to wrap up this call-in. Thanks to all of you for your stories. We're going to be doing a lot more oral history here in World Pride Month. We're going to do a 6-part series starting next Friday, the 21st. That's going to go through Friday, the 28th, called Prejudice and Pride, Decade by Decade Since Stonewall. And we're going to have history tape. We're going to have guests, obviously, and we're going to do more oral histories on the phones from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and in the 2000s. So get ready for that. More oral history coming later this World Pride Month. And thanks so much for your calls on when you realized it was okay to be gay or lesbian or bisexual or trans or queer.